Bother! Bother and bollocks!
I've just spent the last 5 minutes reading the blog and it hadn't recorded, and it was sounding so good as well.
So, I probably won't be able to do it anywhere near as well as I just have done it, so if you can just listen to this blog being read by me and then imagine it being done 10 times better, and that is probably how it would have sounded, all right? David Eagle's blog, read by David Eagle. Hello. This was posted on July the 17th, 2012. Remember then? My goodness. Probably not. Probably not. Don't tax your mind too hard trying to remember that far back. It's called My Near Ironic Death Experience. I had barely arrived at the bus stop before an old lady approached me and began to talk to me about her cat. This seems to be what old ladies at bus stops do, or at least the old ladies at bus stops in Billingham anyway. I used to travel this bus route on a daily basis for about a year, and rarely would a week go by without an old lady talking to me about her cat. I'm convinced that some of these old ladies don't actually ever get on any buses. They just wander over to the local bus stop of a morning, if the weather's nice, to spend a few hours chatting, generally about their cats. They have seemingly researched all the bus numbers and timetables, but I don't think they've done this for the conventional reason. I think they've armed themselves with this knowledge purely as a means of providing themselves with a suitable conversation opener. All they have to do is wait for a moment of weakness from someone, such as a glance at the timetable, a puzzled look, or a person quietly musing about when the next bus is due, and they'll be straight in there. They'll give you the information you want, oh yes, but you'll get it at a price. That price being a litany of superfluous trivia about an old lady's cat. Being blind, I am perfect prey for these old ladies. As soon as I approach the bus stop, they're onto me. They want to help me, apparently, but I know their game.
"Oh, which bus stop are you wanting, love?"
they ask, affecting interest. I tell them.
"Oh dear, you've just missed one,"
they gleefully inform me.
"Which means you've got plenty of time to listen to a couple of anecdotes about our cats." "Oh, I haven't seen you at this bus stop for a while,"
said today's old lady. I explained to her that I now live close to where I work, so generally I don't need to do the bus journey.
"Oh, OK," she said, and without a moment's pause began, "Well, you'll remember my cat Bobby, of course."
This was not a question, it was a statement. She seemed to have no doubt in her mind that I would remember her cat Bobby, and that I'd obviously be looking forward to receiving an update on him. Incidentally, if you should find yourself in a similar situation to the one I'm describing, here is some advice that you'll be wise to take heed of. Take note, I am not a novice in this matter. Do not ask questions or offer thoughts. Just let the cat talk wash over you while you think about something more interesting. And believe me, thinking of something more interesting will not be a challenge. The old bus stop cat ladies are not interested in your opinions, you see. They simply see you as a transient passive recipient for their cat anecdotes. If you half listen to what they're saying and simply smile, nod or frown, depending on the nature of their tale, then you should get away relatively mentally unscathed. I hope you're not going to be too disappointed by my exclusion of the old lady's cat update. I was not really listening. It had something to do with a trip to the vet, but I'm assuming by the lady's tone that the cat survived this experience, which is a pity because it means she'll have future cat anecdotes to impart. If you are interested to hear the story, however, then I'm sure you'll be enlightened if you hang around the bus stop opposite Asda in Billingham. Just go up to the old ladies congregating around the bus stop and ask if any of them happens to be the owner of Bobby the cat. I'm sure you're bound to find her. Perhaps Dave Gorman still reads this blog, because he definitely used to, and he might take this as a challenge to find the lady. Going around the country to track down characters he reads about in blogs is the kind of thing he would probably do. I would advise him to put this particular episode somewhere in the middle of his book. It's hardly the big opener or the grand finale. During the woman's lengthy disquisition on her cat, my bus pulled up. "Well, it was good to see you again, and thanks for telling me all about Bobby. Give him my best," I said as I moved towards the bus.
"Oh, yes, I'll tell him you were asking after him," replied the old lady, without a trace of humour in her voice. "I'm glad to see you're still doing well," she said, as I reached the front of the bus queue. "We were wondering what had happened to you."
"Well, don't worry, I'm fine, as you can see. I'm not dead," I heartily responded as I stepped onto the bus and fell face first onto the ground. I had my accordion with me, as well as my laptop and other stuff for work, and I had forgotten about this weight that I was carrying, and in my haste to get away from the old cat lady, I made a clumsy step onto the bus. As I stepped, my bags slipped. I tried to straighten my bags and somehow got my cane caught in between my legs. The cane tripped me up, and the combined weight of my bags sent me down. I tried to rise as gracefully as possible, and then I turned to face where I'd just come from and shouted back at the old cat lady, "Don't tell Bobby about this, I wouldn't want to be a figure of fun among the cat community." I thought a bit of humour might alleviate people's concerns, but all it seemed to do was cause further confusion and more concern among the passengers, especially the passengers immediately behind me who just heard me shout something about cats in their face. The woman, I think, had probably gone by this point, running home to tell Bobby the good news that I was still alive. The passengers probably assumed that I had knocked my head during the fall and that I'd started spouting nonsense about cats in my semi-concussed state. As I settled into my seat, I began to chuckle to myself. This probably helped confirm people's suspicions about my sanity. The reason for my chuckling, however, was due to me imagining the irony of the situation had my fall been fatal and resulted in my death. It would have been a pretty ironic way to die. I had just pronounced, with a grin on my face, to the old cat lady, "As you can see, I'm not dead," and then promptly fell face first onto the ground. Had this fall resulted in the end of my life, these haunting words would have been my last.
"Can you tell us what happened just before he fell, please, madam?"
the policeman would inquire of the old lady, who would have been cited as a key witness.
He said, "As you can see, I'm not dead." And then he fell on the ground, dead.
Well, thank you, madam. We'll be in touch if we require your further assistance in this matter. Thank you, you're free to leave.
Oh, thank you, Inspector. But before I leave, you'll be wanting to hear about Bobby, of course. Well, he's been to the vet for a checkup.
Obviously, I didn't die, as you've presumably realised, given that I'm writing this blog. So I suppose this incident was a bit of a non-story, really. If I had died, then this blog would have been a lot more exciting. There would actually have been something of note to have told you. But I suppose I wouldn't be able to have written the blog had I actually died. So I'm in a bit of a no-win situation with this, really, aren't I? Still, this blog entry could have been a lot worse. At least you didn't have to read all about Bobby the cat and his trip to the vet.